Senator back in session. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, and I'd ask you recognize the Senator from the 15th District on Senate Bill 5.
Senate Bill 5. Senator from the 15th.
I move that Senate Bill 5 be taken up from the informal calendar and brought up for perfection.
The Senator 15th has moved that Senate Bill 5 be brought up for perfection. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senator from 15th.
Well, before we went on our break, I went through and explained the differences from what was brought out of the Senate committee substitute and what we have in my substitute on the floor. And if there's no further questions, I renew my motion.
Does any senator desire to be heard on Senate Substitute Number 1 for Senate Bill Number 5?
Mr. President.
Senator from the 24th, what reason do you rise?
President, to inquire of the senator from the 1st, please.
Senator from the 1st, yield. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I think we have some time here to talk a little bit about it's been, first of all, a very long day. Here it is after 9:20 p.m., I think we started about 9 or so a.m., trying to see if there was some way to find some kind of compromise with the various opinions about this legislation from within and from both sides of the aisle. And, you know, we get back to the point at this point in time where we're thinking, why are we here? This is not the regular legislative session where a large part of these issues, there were bills, and those were bills that did not make it all the way through the process, which is part of what happens, right?
Senator, this is obviously a very controversial subject matter. I don't know about your district. My district is very closely divided on this issue. But I agree with you about, I'll say it this way, reasonable minds can disagree on the merits of these issues.
Right.
And I also think reasonable minds can disagree as to whether legislation before us and the call of the governor fits within the ambit of what the Constitution means by extraordinary. Both on the proceedings that we are part of and on the merits of the bill itself, one of two things is going to happen. We are either going to find a way to agree to disagree, or we are not. And I think a number of senators today have worked very hard to try to get to a place where we can agree to disagree. I personally cannot support the Senate substitute for Senate Bill 5. I don't think that comes as a surprise to you or to anybody else.
Right.
And I also, perhaps unsurprisingly, do not believe that these proceedings meet the constitutional test for extraordinary session.
And I agree with you. And I, too, even though many of us have worked hard on getting this bill to where it is from where the other bills that were also part of this, that were also sent forward yesterday? We've tried to move the needle to make sure that we are not continuing to further harm women, Missouri women, whom I trust to make the right decisions for themselves and their families. We're trying not to further harm them and prevent them from having access to all of their reproductive health care rights. So, like you, I will not be supporting this bill, but I just wanted to start from the point that says I'm not even sure why we are here in this extraordinary session, why we are spending taxpayer dollars to be here, when this is the business of the legislature that goes on during the legislative session.
A failure on the governor's part to lead does not constitute an extraordinary circumstance on our part. We were here for 4.5 months, and bills, a lot like the bills that are in front of us now, were filed. They were heard. A couple of them made it to the floor. You know, the legislation of the senator from the second was on the floor on April 4th, and I distinctly recall, I mean, we were on the senator from Cape Girardeau's bill was on the floor that night. The senator from the second's bill was on the floor that night. It was April 4th. I looked it up because I distinctly recall discussing Judge Sachs's forthcoming opinion on April 4th, 5 full weeks before the end of session.
Right.
Those bills never made it to the floor again. There was discussion about bringing them to the floor again, and I wasn't necessarily party to those discussions. I think you may have been party to some of them, but the point is, we had the full process on the Senate of the Senate on this legislation this year, and it didn't go anywhere.
Right.
And it got, frankly, less floor time than a whole lot of other things that also didn't get across the finish line. So, you know, we have, I'm going to draw the analogy to a baseball game. The Constitution gives us 4.5 months to legislate every year. In a baseball game, you get 9 innings, all right? So when you record the last out in the bottom of the ninth, you look up at the scoreboard, and that's what the score is, all right? And if you're losing because you weren't prepared to lead, you don't get to add 3 extra innings just because you didn't get the job done.
And that's a perfect analogy.
And that's what our governor is doing. We are where we are. I want to... You know, this court decision we knew was coming. It was dated May 2nd. We had a week and a half after the decision was handed down until the end of session. We had more than a month forewarning that the decision was coming before it did. So to say that this is some kind of last-minute development, I think,
not.
Strains the test.
It's certainly not. And I can tell you that the bill, the what is today Senate Bill 6, that was Senate Bill 41,
right,
was offered by the senator from Cape Girardeau.
Right.
He and I worked on that bill and tried to offer some amendments. I thought we had made some progress on that. At the end of the day, he was not supportive of my amendments. But, you know, that bill was there, and we had the opportunity, should we have wanted to do it, to pass that bill dealing with what's going on in St. Louis City, the ordinance that they, or the board bill that they passed. We had the opportunity to do that during the session, and I think it's aggravating to me and you and many other people, but more than aggravating, we have responsibilities back home in our districts. We have places we can be working, and some people have other jobs, but we also have business in the district. We have constituents to talk to and deal with.
Well, it's an occupational hazard, and I you're not going to hear me... You're not going to hear me object to being called to do my constitutional duty.
Right.
I may disagree with whether this meets the constitutional test for extraordinary. And in that regard, I mean, these bills came to the floor on April 4th.
Right.
They didn't come to the floor in January. They didn't come to the floor in February. They didn't come to the floor in March. They didn't come to the floor in 2016. They didn't come to the floor in 2015 or 2014, I don't believe. Of course, the one was in response to a city ordinance that, in fairness, wasn't adopted until before this year's session. But the point is, in the grand scheme of things, for worse or for better, agree or disagree, these bills did not make the cut during regular session. And if that is the test for what makes for a special session, my gosh.
Well, then I have some bills we can bring forward.
Oh, I've got more bills than you can imagine ready to bring forward.
Right.
Should the occasion arise.
And there are bills out there that truly do help protect women and families. We have suicide prevention. We have Medicaid expansion. We have Family Medical Leave Act bills. We have things that we can do about infant mortality if we really want to protect women and maternal mortality in the state of Missouri, which has a higher rate than almost every other state in the nation.
Something we ought to address.
And certainly higher than the national average, significantly higher. So if we needed to come back for something that we believe saved lives, there were lots of opportunities out there. This bill, to me, under the guise of saving lives, is just putting more restrictions on women's access to reproductive health care and providing an opportunity to organizations that mislead and misrepresent themselves to women about who they are and about what choices they face should they find themselves pregnant with a pregnancy that they do not wish to carry to term.
Well, let me say this about all these special sessions. We've had two. It's still June. We've been out of session for barely over a month at this point. We've been called back twice already, and I've heard rumors that we might be called back three or four more times. And let me say this about that, Senator. For every day that we are called back on something that I do not believe meets the test for an extraordinary session, for every day we spend between now and January, I will personally see to it that we burn 2 days next year during regular session. If we're going to abuse the power of the call, I will enforce the Constitution, myself personally, at timing of my choosing. I want to make it very clear, this is not a consequence-free environment that we're dealing with here. All right, we've all worked together to try to come up with a rendition of this legislation that can reach a vote. I believe we've done that. I understand the need for targeted economic development in the Boot Heel.
Right.
I understand that there was a court case that came kind of late. I don't think it excuses it, but going forward, if I don't think the pretext for a special session is valid, I will be rectifying it in regular session next year.
Well, you know, Senator, and I appreciate hearing that, there are consequences for taking these kinds of actions that are really an abuse of power of the governor, overstepping of the executive branch's responsibility. It is the legislature's prerogative and job to make the laws. But you brought up the earlier special session, and these emergency extraordinary sessions are called because there is something that needs to be taken care of. We passed those bills in this legislature, in the House and the Senate, to allow these businesses to have access to lower electrical rates should they open in Missouri. And we were told it was an emergency. There was an emergency clause on that bill. The leadership in the Senate and the leadership in the House signed those bills and sent them to the governor for signature. Do you know what, Senator? Those have not, that bill has not yet been signed.
You know why, right? You know why? He's waiting for the check to his 501c4. That's what I think. I think he's waiting for the check to clear.
So the idea that there is dark money out there, that we don't know where the governor's funds are coming from, is what you're tying together with this idea that, well, when you get what you're waiting for, Governor, then perhaps you'll turn around and sign the bill that you rushed us back to an emergency session to pass.
He has spent longer with it on his desk than he spent in calling the session. It has been on his desk for longer than it took for us to get it done after May 12th.
That's absolutely true. So, Senator, I have been asked for a moment to step off the floor.
Sure. I have another senator I want to inquire of, if that'd be helpful,
I appreciate the inquiry, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator, first, what reason you're
out? All right. Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the senator from the 4th?
Senator from the 4th, you yield. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I know that there is language in this bill that is very similar, in fact, identical, I think, to legislation that the senator from Cape Girardeau brought forward during regular session. And I know that that is legislation that pertains to an ordinance adopted by the city of St. Louis, a city that you represent in this body. And I just wanted to give you the opportunity to provide your thoughts on that portion of this bill, which implicates the people you represent, along with the senator from the 5th, and you two alone.
Thank you, Senator. You know, Senator, there's a lot of issues with this particular call in general that I have. But I have certainly, since I've been in this body this short time, noticed a lot of very specific legislation aimed at my city. And particularly legislation that has passed in St. Louis City that people have done to make life better the people that live there. Voted on by the elected body in St. Louis City. And, you know, forget about going down the local control road, because we know that's just only there for whenever the other side needs it. That's actually
when it's local control that suits one ideology, it's fine. When it's local control that gets in the way of that ideology, it's clearly a problem.
You know, we talked about having, the governor said that wanted higher wages in the state. Well, when St. Louis City actually went ahead and did it, we said, absolutely not. We're not going to actually raise wages. We're going to go ahead and overturn that. You know, Senator, do you know how much I got to talk on that piece of legislation?
Senator, I don't remember you getting to turn your microphone on for that.
I don't either. It's funny because we didn't bring it up to the last day of session.
Well, I mean, in fairness, Senator, you only represent, like, what, 160,000 people in the city of St. Louis? I mean, I maybe it's just me. I think that they deserve a voice in this body, and you didn't get that opportunity, and I think that that's unfortunate.
I did not. And then I understand that, for the most part, and I won't pigeonhole anybody into one side or the other, but for the most part, there's an ideological difference between most of the members of both parties on this type of legislation.
Sure.
But the ordinance that was passed in St. Louis City was an anti-discrimination legislation, protecting people from being discriminated against for a choice that they've made.
And viewpoint neutral in that regard, by the way.
That's right. And I just have been getting tired of us trying to, Senator, I'm trying not to be insulting, but awful lot of men making decisions for women in this body. Awful lot of men. Now, maybe that's because that's the vast majority, but I want to point out that everybody that's about to vote for this in this chamber has never been pregnant and never can be. Now, certainly, I think that there would be another person to the senator from Callaway, and that would be a different story, and I take nothing away from her.
No.
But I want to point out that the vast majority of the decisions being made in this body about women will never become pregnant and can never become pregnant. And so they don't have any idea, nor do I, what actually goes through someone's mind when they have to make these decisions. And when we're going to go ahead and nullify something that someone put, a bill that was written at the Board of Aldermen in St. Louis City to say that you can't be fired for having had an abortion, you can lose your job.
Or for having decided against having one.
Right. Or for using birth control.
Or for deciding not to use birth control.
That's right. And you know, I keep hearing about this liberal hotbed of St. Louis, and I'm sure there are quite a few liberals in St. Louis. You know, Senator, I am a blue-collar construction worker from South St. Louis, which is probably 70% Roman Catholic.
Right.
And I can tell you that it is not a liberal hotbed in South St. Louis.
My district is adjacent to that, and I can vouch for that, nor would I say the same in my district. There are parts of it that are, but
I am fed up with the constant attack on St. Louis because the rest of this body doesn't agree with it. We're not asking you to agree with it. We're passing our own laws in St. Louis for our people. Just like everybody in this chamber would want the same respect for the area that they represent. But we're not getting it. Because of an ideological divide.
Not only that, Senator, and I'm going to draw an analogy to an issue that I wish that this body and our friends across the hall had taken action on, and that's prescription drug monitoring. My county, St. Louis County, I think your jurisdiction as well, has its own program, which I support. And I don't want preempted. I want to see a statewide approach. But the point is, that's a situation where we have local control being exercised in a way that people happen to like and agree with, and so it's being left alone. I'm glad that it is. I wish we had a statewide program. But, Bill, I just don't know that you can discern any particular philosophical consistency between how we are not preempting in one place and we are preempting left and right on other issues.
Senator, I agree with you. You know, I got frustrated earlier on in the day when, there were a lot of discussions going on that I wasn't privy to, and I certainly appreciate the work being done by all of the members of this body to come to some agreement. And I was only upset for the fact that, once again, we've got an issue dealing with my area of the state, with my city that I share with the senator from the 5th, and once again, not privy to any type of discussion. However, I appreciate the work that was done, and I'm certainly not happy with what we may have to live with here, but because of the work that was done by the members of this body, to come to some reasonable agreement that, quite frankly, both sides are not happy with. In the tradition of the Senate, I'm not going to go all night on something that we can't.
Well, and I think whether we go all night or not, the result is either going to be the same or it's going to be worse for the values that we bring into this room.
Absolutely.
And I will say this. I think that to a senator, there has been a concerted effort to have the process of the Senate be the process of the Senate today and this week. Frankly, the governor hasn't made that any easier for any of us in the manner in which he has gone about his business. And I think, frankly, members of his own party have more to tell us about than we do.
The governor that hasn't signed the last bill that he called us in for, that it was such an emergency that we had to come in right away. We had to get it passed. Everybody remember the company that's beating down our door to get here? We got to beat New York. We got to beat New York to get this company here. We haven't signed the bill yet. Why have we not signed the bill yet? And we're back up here on another one.
Well, and why are we coordinating with 501c4 paid for campaign events that senators aren't being invited to in their own districts? And I say that it's not my place to complain. I'm not on that side of the aisle. But regardless, it is what it is. The governor hasn't made it any easier. And let's face it, this is an incredibly difficult issue with tremendously heated passions on both sides of the debate. And I do think that we have seen a number of members of our body on both sides of the issue, on both sides of the aisle, do their very best to approach this as senators today. And I think that that's what we have seen. I'm personally
I agree. I certainly appreciate that. And I think that I think the vast majority of this body appreciates it as well.
I think so, too.
That's when we seem to be functioning the best.
And look, there are several of us who I think this bill goes way too far. And I am equally confident that there are members of this body who think that this bill does not go far enough. And you know what? Jefferson and Madison gave us a system where that's just how it goes a lot of the time. And none of us has to like it. But I'll say this, especially today, especially at this time in our history, we may not always like it. We'd better respect it, and we'd better appreciate it. Because I think what Jefferson and Madison and their contemporaries gave us is in greater jeopardy today than it's been at most times in the last century and a half, or even the last 200-plus years since we adopted the Constitution. These processes have served our country and our state well. They have brought us from a colonial breakaway to the preeminent world power. And I think it's just tremendously important for all of us to make sure we don't lose sight of that. Even though nobody here votes in favor of every bill we pass, nobody here votes against every bill we pass, we all win some, we all lose some. It's an occupational hazard, just like being called back right after session ends.
That's right.
But it is our duty, and I think that members of this body have discharged it to the best of their ability today, and I hope that I hope that we can keep the train on the tracks as best we can.
Well, Senator, I certainly agree with you. I will tell you that there is quite a difference between being in this body and the other chamber, and I have certainly enjoyed my brief time here, and the level of respect that everyone gives each other, and I hope that we continue to have that tradition in the Senate. And Senator, I just have to keep. I have to go back to the nonstop attack on St. Louis City.
Yeah.
They're just trying to govern themselves, and when we talk about oppressive federal government telling the states what to do, that's the same thing that we're doing in this body, day in and day out, when we're not letting the local municipalities of the state govern themselves at their level.
I agree, Senator, and that's among the reasons I'll be opposing this legislation.
As will I.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 7th, what reason do you guys?
To inquire the Senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th. Sergeant Arms, would you summon the Senator from the 15th? Senator from the 15th, you yield for inquiry from the Senator from the 7th?
Yes.
Proceed.
Good evening, Senator.
Good evening.
I imagine you've had a pretty interesting day.
Yes, it's, I don't think the meetings have ever stopped.
Yeah, well, when you're tabbed to be the chief negotiator on piece of legislation like this, you're going to have your plate full. Now, you know that I believe that we're unconstitutionally seated right now. You weren't here Monday night.
I was not here, no.
Right, well, Monday night, I pointed out that I don't believe that this is an extraordinary circumstance, that judges make decisions all the time and that cities pass ordinance all the time, and those two factors don't combine together to make an extraordinary circumstance to waste the taxpayer dollars to bring us back in on something that we actually debated during the regular session that did not come to a vote, that many bills die over a session. The culmination of these two bills happened to be two bills that didn't make it across the finish line, and that doesn't culminate into an extraordinary circumstance. So I know your feelings on the life issue. I know you have an 8-year track record of being a pro-life candidate and being a pro-life legislator, and I know that ideologically the subject matter is deeply important to you as a person. So I'm not questioning, rather, you believe that the subject matter is important. I know
sure.
You think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's extraordinary?
Well, I mean, do you have past court cases where bills have been thrown out because the court ruled that it wasn't extraordinary?
The transfer bill, when we dealt with that issue, that was an example.
Did we do that in a special session?
No, we did not. We did not. But a judge ruled on that transfer issue that could have caused a special session, but the governor at the time didn't feel as extraordinary, and that it could be dealt with in the regular session, which we did pick that issue up and deal with that in the regular session. So despite my adamant and vehement beliefs that we are unconstitutionally seated, nonetheless, we have worked on this bill. And I think that it's appropriate to commend your effort to work with the other side to get to a place where the senator from the first acknowledged that everybody's a little unhappy, and that means that maybe we got to a compromise. Now, earlier...
There's certainly things in here that definitely got watered down, like the tissue, you know, being a sample. We changed the five-day thing. I didn't care that much about that piece, but not requiring a microscopic examination. I mean, that's a pretty big thing, you know. I mean, if you get a gallbladder removed, and it's only, you know, you don't know if it's the whole gallbladder. I mean, that could be very problematic. So we're taking those concessions your side gave, the regulation side. So, I mean, I think both sides.
What percentage of the bill where we started do you feel like we arrived at? What percentage do you think you got from where we started? Do you think 85%, 90% of where we started?
It depends on if you're saying Senate Bill 1 is the starting point.
Yeah.
And then we're looking at
this. We got 100% of the senator from Cape's bill.
That's true.
100% of that.
My bill was extremely watered down also. It's hard to put a number to it. I mean, there's some things that we got everything, some things that got watered down, and some things we didn't get anything.
Right.
You know, the informed consent piece is not in there at all. You have the that other piece.
Well, I had many concerns with this bill. I mean, I'm concerned about this being overburdensome, heavy regulation. This is big government to me. This is the heavy hand of government. This is certainly not, you wouldn't call this free market, would you?
Oh, no, no.
Highly regulated. This is almost liberal policy. In fact, the senator from the second is a liberal tonight. He is a big government liberal. If everybody understands that, the senator from the second is a big government liberal wanting to regulate.
I mean, it kind of depends on what you think the purpose of government should be.
I go back to the AG's portion, because to centralize prosecutorial power into a politically elected official over an entire state when we have county prosecutors who are responsible for those duties, that is the concentration of government power in the hands of the few, which is big government. I have a problem with that. So I have a problem with a lot of this, but...
No, I understand what you're saying.
The fact that you worked with the senator from the 24th and the senator from the 1st and the senator from Green, and you guys did your best to come up with an agreement, that's why I'm going to stop talking now, and I'm going to vote no because of my objections. I'm going to vote no because of my objections on constitutional grounds, but I'm also going to vote no on substantive grounds, because I think this is overburdensome regulations.
Sure.
And especially dealing with the Attorney General expanding original jurisdiction. That's probably the point of this legislation that I have the most.
We do have the first right of refusal in that.
I know. You did. You actually got to a place where I'm not going to continue to talk. I'm sitting down and voting no. And we know that that's a plateau in negotiations.
Right.
So you are to be commended for getting us there. And tomorrow morning, when this is all done, I hope that you will get the lion's share of the credit for having seen this through this very difficult process. Okay? Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption of the Senate Substitute Number 1 for Senate Bill Number 5? Any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 15th, you're recognized. Close.
Close.
Did you close, Senator? Okay. The Senator of the 15th moves the Senate substitute for Senate Bill 5 be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion prevails, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 15th. you need to make the motion perfect and order print.
I move that Senate Bill 5 or Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 5 be ordered, perfected, and printed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of the 15th that the
repeat that it's a Senate substitute.
Yeah, you're on the Senate substitute number 1 for Senate Bill 5.
Not Senate Committee substitute.
Not Senate Committee substitute. So.
All right. Yeah. Senate substitute.
Okay. The Senator of the 15th has moved that Senate substitute number 1 for Senate Bill number 5 be declared perfected and printed, and the Senator is out to be heard. Senator 15th, you recognize close.
I close.
The Senator 15th moves that Senate substitute number 1 for Senate Bill number 5 declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the members, are of the opinion that the motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Colt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to order business of announcements, and I'd ask you to recognize me for an announcement.
Order of business announcements, Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the benefit of the body, in a few minutes, I'll be making a recess motion until 10 p.m. The back office, hardworking folks, are working to perfect that bill, at which time we will come in sometime after that. My committee will do its functory duty of turning that perfected bill in under reports of standing committees. And at that time, I will make an adjournment motion until 12:15 a.m. on June 15th, where we will come back in and proceed on this bill. So I just wanted the benefit of the body to understand what the next couple of steps are going to be.
Announcements. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will stand in recess until 10 p.m. this day.
The Senator from Cole moves that the Senate stand in recess until 10:15 this evening, 10 o'clock this day. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate is in recess.